Big news out of Washington. Boy, these lame duckers have been pretty busy. Congress approving a bill to fund government for another 10 weeks. Ooh, that sets up a nasty showdown when things kick back in January. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, this show. We zig and zag all over the place. Always fun to catch up with the doings in and around our nation's capital. And we do that each and every day here with the folks from Talk Radio News. This time we got Jeff Holtzman, who's now being ushered in from our lavish virtual green room. Hey, Jeff, thanks for popping on right here from the get-go. We appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about what I just mentioned. It was going to be a shutdown of basically of the government. We were going to have everything shut down, halted. So I didn't think that was going to happen anyway. But what was the reaction to the 10 weeks? I guess that was pretty much expected, right?
Well, I think a couple weeks ago, Democrats were really hoping that they could get that omnibus spending bill passed. And, of course, that would have funded the government through the fiscal year of 2011, ending in, next September.
Sure.
But, of course, that came with a hefty price tag of over $1 trillion. So Republicans, maintained that they would object to that and object to that until they got something better. And for them, this continuing resolution for the next 10 weeks is a lot better. I mean, it's much less costly. It's about $236 billion total. But it keeps in place the spending levels from this fiscal year, with a slight exception for some student Pell Grant programs. But, Republicans, one of the things they want to do, obviously, is, derail this health care law as well as the Wall Street reform law, both of which were passed this year. And if they had allowed that omnibus bill to pass, there would have been a ton of funding, of course, for implementation of the health care law and the Dodd-Frank Act. So the fact that they got the continuing resolution with no funding for those two major pieces of legislation is a political victory for them. We'll see what happens, though, in 8 or 9 weeks or so when it's time to re-up. What are they going to do? Are they actually going to pass a budget bill next year? Their track record hasn't been very good the last, year or so, so we'll see.
No. You know what it's like? It's like the collective bargaining agreements in the NFL. And you and I are sports fans, so we know what that's like. It's politics of a different kind, certainly, but it reminds me a little bit of that,
Yeah, I think it's akin to that. I mean, there's, certainly you've got a ton of negotiation, like the NFL, where you've got the Players Association and the owners at odds. You've got, the parties at odds, and there's really no difference. So, but hopefully, as with the NFL, they can work out maybe a better agreement and maybe get, some more revenue sharing or something like that going on and put aside all the squabbling we've been hearing the last year. So with Congress, I'm a little more skeptical.
I'd have to agree with you on that one. All right, START. So the Senate votes to advance START. What does this mean?
Well, it means that they're on the verge of ratifying this treaty. And again, a couple weeks ago, this is something that I didn't think was plausible during this lame duck session, but the president, to his credit, worked the phones pretty miraculously over the weekend and got a couple of Republicans to switch over and support the treaty. Scott Brown and Judge Gregg were the two latest to switch sides and get on board. So, the cloture vote, which ended debate on the treaty, passed today with 67 votes. They need 67 to ratify it. I wouldn't be surprised if they get one more vote. So, if they get 68 votes in total. So it looks like a big, legislative priority for the president was passed or will be passed. And if you couple that with, obviously the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal and the tax cut agreement, it's been a pretty productive lame duck session.
Yeah, it's an amazing lame duck session, depending on how you look at each issue, though, of course, Democrat versus Republican and who gets the wins on that. How about the 9/11 health care bill? What I understand is that the House, a lot of House members are going to stay in town for that vote, and that's the Senate's expected to pass that on Wednesday. So we may see something here, too.
Yeah, I mean, originally, both houses of Congress were trying to hopefully adjourn by the end of today, but that got pushed back tomorrow because obviously you've got the START treaty in the morning. But, the 9/11 responders bill will be voted on in the Senate tomorrow. It's expected that that will pass. They think they have enough votes for that. The president, the White House has been very, very adamant that get done. Robert Gibbs again reiterated today during the briefing that he would like to see that pass as the last thing Congress does before they break. When it goes to the House, it will pass easily because the House actually passed this law bill a couple months ago, I should say. So it's nothing new to them. But for the Senate, it's been difficult because of the price tag and also because of concerns by Tom Coburn, who's from Oklahoma, who thinks that it would just, you know, would set up a new entitlement and there would be a lot of waste and fraud and abuse and that sort of thing. But Democratic Senators Gillibrand and Schumer were able to get the price tag down a little bit, and I think they'll have consensus on it tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that goes, but I agree. I think they're going to have consensus, too. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Kate. Talk to you soon.
All right. Again, a lot happening in D.C., obviously. That's why we're starting there. And like I said, lame duck, doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever stripe you wear, if you claim one of the two parties or you claim you're an independent, it is pretty crazy. The do nothing Congress for Obama anyway became the do something Congress. That's for certain, because it's been dismal for Obama, certainly in the last year or so. And now you look at all of a sudden, as far as his agenda, don't ask, don't tell, boom, passes. You see what's happening with START. You see a couple of the other compromises. I mean, START looks like it's really moving just a knock away from approval. I can't imagine it won't. They have 67, as Jeff said, maybe even an extra one, and then it's off for the holidays. So that happens, and this Congress, despite its pathetic approval ratings, it has now accomplished more than any other Congress. You realize that if you want to purely look at what they've gotten passed, like I said, especially when it comes to the Democratic side of the ledger, than Congress has since 1960. It's shocking because the previous Congress really was the do-nothing Congress. Now here we are at the tail end when the show's about to change, and the Democrats showed up, I guess. And then there was the right compromise at the right time for President Obama. So these teen approval ratings and all of what's now happened in the midterm elections kind of getting a little cloudy, right? And the poll numbers and going back to like the Great Society or the New Deal, as I was talking to somebody today about this, is we're seeing the most movement that we've seen since then. Isn't that crazy that we have to go that far back? And like I said, we know because we've been talking about it here on the show, whether it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or whether it's the conversation about the START treaty, or, you know, pick an issue. And by the way, now 10 weeks, there is a budget, but what happens in March will be interesting to watch, because I think that there's going to be a huge fight over that omnibus bill when things start to get heated again, probably at the tail end of that extension of the budget. All right, we're going to extend the time on this Hour in America tonight in a way. Join us on the flip side.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gussets got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. LASIG.com. LASIG is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LASIG.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LECIG.com. LASIG, for today's modern smoker.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
What happened with the census? What did the census turn up? See, you know, nobody wants to fill out all the nonsense with it. And I agree with one of our long-time callers, Izzy, who said, listen, you just give them the basics. You don't tell them anything about income or any of the other details. But it's important that you give at least the basic information for the census. Why? Because it affects representation. So New York, Ohio, Illinois, Massachusetts, Jersey, and Pennsylvania lost seats. Then there were some states that gained seats. So Republican-leaning states picked up seats in Congress. And so what does that show? One, more people were filling out the census. And, of course, there is a shift in population. But the census showed that there's kind of been a not a stoppage, but a slower moving growth, I guess we'll say, of the population. And of course there is, because less people are having children, and you're not having so many marriages where they have four or five kids or whatever. I think that what you're seeing is maybe even one child per household or two max, and the giant families have shrunk because people can't afford it, and a lot of baby boomers opted out of having children, and I think that's probably partially what you're seeing. But the Republican states, Republican leading, like I called it, are picking up at least half dozen House seats, and that's because of the 2010 census. So the nation's population on April 1st 308,745,538. That's up from 281.4 million about a decade ago. But if you looked at the growth, because, you know, you're talking 10 years, that's pretty slow. In fact, it's the lowest since the Great Depression. Boy, we keep referring to the Depression all the time, don't we? So the population grew by 13.2% from 1990 to 2000. Michigan was the only state to lose population during the past decade. Nevada, with a 35% increase, was the fastest growing state. And, of course, now we see what it's been like for Nevada, obviously, how hard that state was slammed by the recession. So the numbers are a pickup for the GOP. That's the deal. And the great state of Texas led the way with the most Republican leaning states, gee, not a surprise, right, that are going to gain House seats. And mostly where the pickups are, the subtraction would have been from the Rust Belt. And, of course, that makes sense because look at all the problems. So where were people fleeing? Where were people moving to? It's obvious. We've talked about that a ton on America Tonight, right? Hey, you can't get a job. You can't find anything. You're picking up states. You're moving. You're leaving. And that's what's happened. So you only do the census once a decade, and the nation has to reapportion the House's 435 districts to make them roughly equal in population, with each state getting, of course, at least as we know, one seat. But what happens is, because of the state lines and because of districts, really, it's really the districts, it can be either a boon or I'll call it a bust for either party. And in this case, it was a pickup. Boy, everything is going the way of the Republicans lately, isn't it? The midterms, now this, another big pickup. Like I said, Texas gains four House seats. Florida picks up two, gaining one each. Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, South Carolina, Utah, and Washington. I know we have listeners in those states. And like I said, I mentioned Jersey and Pennsylvania and some of the others losing a House seat. So Florida now has as many House members as New York. You know what that number is? If we could have saved this for a week and count. 27. California has 53, and Texas climbs up to 36. So remember, think back to the election. Think back to Barack Obama and change you can count on. And Obama lost in Texas and most of the other states that are gaining those House seats. So what does that mean for the 2012 elections? It means a better political map. That's what it means. That means if I'm a Republican, and especially if I'm running for something that comes up, and particularly in one of those areas, I'm thinking that that's going to be helpful to me, but maybe helpful to the Republicans still in all. Who is the candidate? Where are we as a nation at that time? I mean, we'll be speculating about this for two fat years. Because a little less than 2 years, because that's when, of course, we'll elect whoever the next president is, whether it's Obama part two or it's somebody else. So since 1940, 79 House seats. I find this stuff totally fascinating. That's why I'm giving you all this juice here, all this history. 79 House seats have shifted to the South and the West, mostly from the Northeast and the Midwest. Again, not a surprise. Think of the economics in those areas. Think of people moving. Think of the weather, the warmth, all that stuff. I think that also plays probably a part of that. But that's why, I mean, the census is, who wants to be poked and prodded and asked all those questions in the census? But you just had to fill out the bare minimum and not answer all the other nonsense when they were trying to pry into the salaries and everything else. Although it's, to be honest, I mean, you're on the radar, right? If you're paying taxes and the IRS has your information, don't you think you're kind of a little bit on the radar? But even with the bare minimum, we can see what some of the changes entail. So the 2010 census results are used basically, besides the political sway of representation, it's also about distributing that money, that $400 billion in federal aid. And that's going to change the Electoral College votes. And that will begin in the 2012 presidential election. Remember, heading into the midterms, I said it's important that you vote. I hate it when people don't vote because they're apathetic or they say, who gives a crap? It doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. I'm bitter. I hate the people who are running, or whatever the reason. trust me, there is power in numbers, and we saw that. We saw that in the primaries. We saw it in the midterm elections. People who shouldn't have been there, couldn't have been there, should have never been there, whatever their stories were. Or, hey, they came from nowhere, they won. They were just the upstart that made a couple of good points, and the other guy, I'll say guy, the other guy wasn't doing his job, and enough people were sick of it, so boom, they were booted, basically. And I think in local politics and certainly state politics, we're talking about representation on the Capitol, whether it's Congress or the Senate, one of the two chambers, I really think the votes matter. But when it gets to a presidential election, the Electoral College has so much sway that this will be interesting, because some of that sway now goes back in the other direction. So fascinating what's happened with this, like I said, with this last census and ultimately how it plays out. And speaking of politics, let's stick with politics here for a second, because that's what we hit you with in the beginning of this hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk about WikiLeaks with Andrew Clavin, screenwriter, author, just very opinionated. Love this guy, and he's got some thoughts on WikiLeaks and where that's going with Julian Assange and what it means as far as, you know, whistleblowers. Remember, there was this legislation, trying to pass legislation so that it'd be easier for a whistleblower to stand up and say, here's what's going on, and not lose their job, which is pretty much now unlikely when you're in a big corporation and you squeal, you know you're going to get squeezed out. Or if you're in the military and you leak classified military documents, there's probably a good chance you're going to get in trouble, which is what we saw with WikiLeaks. You know, I said this before, you can talk about Assange and, hey, the freedom of the press and the information should be out there, and if he gets his hands on it, then bully for him. Why not release him? But he's not the one that gets caught in the web of having to pay the price. It's the person who blew the whistle. Or is it? Because Assange, a lot of people are gunning for him, which is what you saw happen, I believe, a lot of that in England. I mean, was that a lot of trumped-up nonsense from Sweden? Was there any credence to he sexually assaulted some women? Or was it nonsense? You know, the Swedes wanted him back there. And, of course, in the U.S., Eric Holder, the Attorney General, trying to figure out how can we make this guy, how can we nail him to the wall? How can he stick to the wall? Because, let's face it, he's humiliating the State Department, and, of course, the same thing with the military. So we're going to talk about that next with AK. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today. On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Calling all manufacturers from across the United States. Are you eager to have people buy your products right here at home instead of having them buy competing products made on the other side of the world? Do you want to build your business while helping boost our nation's economy at the same time? Then localmakers.com is the website for you. Our site provides an easy way for manufacturers to connect with customers within their local community as well as across the United States. From the small manufacturer who works out of their home to the large manufacturers across the U.S., localmakers.com connects customers to the closest manufacturer by simply entering their zip code. So if you make your own goods and want to expand your market, go to localmakers.com and put your products on one of our shelves. If you're not a local manufacturer but know someone who is, take advantage of the localmakers.com referral program and earn income by getting others to join. Simply go to localmakers.com and register. There's no cost to join. That's localmakers.com. Visit localmakers.com today.
Gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days aside. She'll turn the music on you.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight. We're talking a little WikiLeaks here. It's kind of like Where's Waldo? Julian Assange. Boy, we've talked about this man way too much. He's either a hero or a goat. I think there's really no in between. And pretty much that's how our poll is running on ATN. A lot of you feel that it's tremendous what he's done and that you have to have those portals where you can release the information. So why is everybody jumping on his back for some of the stuff that has been released State Department-wise and, of course, militarily? Well, who better to have on this show than one of my favorite, most politically incorrect people I know that has a good voice in Hollywood and has a new book out called Identity Man. He also has Truth of the Matter and always has a really hard-hitting opinion, Andrew Klavan. Andrew, thanks for popping back on ATN.
It's a pleasure, Gaze. Always nice to talk to you.
All right, so just from that perspective, I know we were going to go deeper than that, but with WikiLeaks, do you think Julian Assange is a hero?
No, I think he's a creep.
Very good.
I mean, he's endangered people's lives, but the funny thing about him is he hasn't accomplished anything that he said he was going to accomplish. I mean, he goes through this big routine about how America is governed by conspiracy. He calls it government by conspiracy. But where's the conspiracy? He made this massive dump of secret cables. You would think with that kind of exposure, we would find us, America, doing all kinds of terrible things. And in fact, we turned out to be pretty decent. We're out there trying to fight terrorism. You know, we find out that the Chinese are not very nice people. The Arabs are playing a double game. Israel basically has the best idea of what's happening in the Middle East. And Italy is Italian prime ministers chase women, which I think is a requirement for being Italian prime minister. So I don't see what we've learned that we couldn't have learned from reading a decent newspaper like the Wall Street Journal. But, you know, listen, I mean, it's not that he hasn't accomplished anything. It's simply that he hasn't done any of the stuff he said he was going to do. And he's really kind of shown us in a good light rather than the opposite.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I get nailed for this because so many people say, oh, there's a big conspiracy here. Don't you see it, Kate? How can you not see it? Nobody else was reporting the things that he was reporting. And I said, listen, he gets the documents from these patsies, basically, who they're going to get their legs cut off in the first place. It's not Assange, really. He is smart in the sense that he's building himself up to be this amazing character, this guy who possesses the freedom of information and, you know, publish or die, and he has that elusive quality. But I think that's all part of building up his coffers.
Building up his coffers and apparently getting women to go to bed with him, which is apparently his major occupation. You know, I think, you know, there is a difference between a journalist who gets a piece of secret information and sits down and debates the worth of publishing this information versus the damage it might do to the people involved, which is the way journalism used to work. And a guy like this who just gets somebody commits treason, basically, and steals a bunch of government secrets and gives them to him and he dumps them online, you know, it's supposed to be all rebellious and anarchist and brave and all this, but if he were really brave, he would be battling some of the nations that are truly oppressive and truly violent. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't expose the secrets of China or of Russia because they'd kill him. You know, we're likely gonna, you know, smack him on the wrist or something like that. It kind of reminds me of those guys, you know, who desecrate a crucifix and they call it art and then they swagger around and say what brave artists they are. But if they ever had to do anything that offended Muslims, and risk real violence, they wouldn't do it because they haven't got the guts. And I feel the same way about Assange. I mean, it's easy to take on America and call it the devil and call it evil and call it a conspiracy because we don't hurt anybody. You know? we're so nice. You know, we're likely to go after him with like an umbrella and chase him around the room like his maiden aunt. You know, I mean, I think that it's just kind of silly that he's parading himself as some kind of a hero when all he's done is expose the fact that, you know, diplomats snipe at each other, which, of course, we knew.
Yeah, no kidding. Why is it that our culture is so removed from reality, from the truth, Andrew? Why are people sucked into this? Why do the normal everyday Joes and Janes believe this crap, and why are they caught up in the middle of it?
Well, we're a victim of our own success. You know, I think that the country is rich and powerful, essentially as we are.
We lost him there. We're going to get him back, and then we'll finish up that conversation. But it's, as Andrew was saying, and I agree with that thread, we're a victim of our own success because America doesn't do anything to anybody. So it's easy to plop it up out there and provide the scandal, especially for people who want to take a broad brush and paint America as a conspiracy-ridden, corrupt, and riddled with all kinds of problems. You know, when you're the top dog, let's face it, people are looking to tear you down. We certainly have seen this in other areas, even of our own culture. But, I mean, this is a fact of life. You see it. It's like the hero star football player or baseball player. We have this need to tear people down. Hey, Andrew, we were just talking about, and I picked up on that thread that you were mentioning, that we're a victim of our own success. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, we get spoiled. We forget that sometimes nasty things have to be done in order to maintain things that really matter, namely freedom and security. And then when those things are exposed to us, we all kind of throw up our hands, we throw our aprons over our face and run around in hysteria, claiming that America is a bad country. Well, if you live in a bad country, you know, you try going over to China, where if you complain about your working conditions, you're thrown in a mental institution. You know, try going to Saudi Arabia, where if you pray to Jesus, they whip you. If you think that this is oppressive, you're just talking about. But if you live in a country like this long enough, with the freedoms that we have and the wealth that we have, still have, you start to feel that it all is kind of, this is the way it is, and anything that deviates from you see in front of you, the kind of nice world you see in front of you, is an atrocity. And I think this has been fed to us by a left-wing media that is just infected with multicultural nonsense and with kind of a, I don't know what to call it, white guilt maybe, you know, that has kind
yeah.
of, you know, given it this sort of countercultural slant to the news that simply does not reflect the truth, the moral truth of the world.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think happens? You mentioned this. You think that Assange basically gets a slap from the good old U.S. And you think WikiLeaks just continues to thrive and pump out you know, these conspiracy deals and gets people whipped up into a frenzy, and he just rides on into the sunset with more success?
I think that, you know, the reason I think that that is largely the case is because WikiLeaks is not really a phenomenon in itself. It's more the symptom of a larger phenomenon, which is that information has just become harder and harder to protect and contain. All of us have kind of lost a lot of our privacy, and I don't see how that's not going to extend to the government without, like, shutting down the things that make us more free and the services and information flow that we get from the Internet. You know, there's no way to really stop that. So things like this are just going to happen again and again. I mean, basically, it's going to be this cat and mouse game with the government improving, I hope, its security over the things that it needs to keep secret. And with people like this eventually breaking the codes and these moments of exposure. What I think our government ought to think about is making fewer things secret, but making them secret better. You know, I don't think every diplomatic cable has to be a deep, dark secret, but rather I think that those things that need to be secret, like our negotiations with delicate negotiations with countries to keep our security good, those secrets really have to be protected. And the reason is when we go in to an Arab, a Muslim country, and they agree to help us fight the Iranians because the Iranians are nuts and developing nuclear weapons, which is not a good combination, we need to keep that secret because we're endangering the lives of the people who are helping us over there. But not every diplomatic meeting has to be a secret.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Hey, so tell us now, every time I talk to you, something new's been optioned that you've written. You have the Midas touch. I'm just waiting. Identity Man, that's the next thing. How's things going with Identity Man? Because that's still pretty fresh. It's still pretty new.
It's fresh and new. It's gotten great reviews. I am very doubtful this book will ever be made into a movie because it's so politically incorrect. It really, you know, it takes place in a city that's been gutted by racial politics. It's a thriller, but it looks at racial politics in a way I don't think you've seen in quite a while, in a way that people just don't say anymore and talk about the way that, you know, racial politics by people and the way the news media misrepresents it. That's all part of this thriller story in The Identity Man. And so I'll be surprised. It could happen. Stranger things have happened. It could happen that it becomes a film. But if it does, I'm very doubtful that it would reach the screen in the shape that it is as a novel. You know, I think if you sit down and read this novel, your hair will stand on end and you'll say, wow, I haven't heard that before. I doubt that's going to make it to the screen.
I love that. Andrew, thanks. We appreciate it as always. We know you're a busy cat and we appreciate the time. It's always fun to kick it around with you. And I wish you the best. Have a happy
thanks.
Holiday season.
Thanks, Kate. You too. It's great talking to you.
All right, you too. Thank you. And, you know, seriously, if you have never read one of Clavin's books, they're not paying me to say this. I'm just telling you this. You will not be able to put it down. And he has had some of his novels that have gone to film. Clint Eastwood's True Crime. Also, remember, Michael Douglas was in Don't Say a Word. That was another big one. And currently, Twilight, The Hurt Locker, remember those two big movies? From Summit Entertainment, they're creating some film adaptations of his Homelander series, which is, I think, terrific work, too. He's just a master at the prose, let's put it that way. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, it's all about the numbers, baby. We can count.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendabite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendabite.
Extendabite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendabite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendabite. To get your Extendabite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatec, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We can count. It's one of my favorite segments that we started doing, I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever. Probably one of our biggest highs of 2010, my favorite features. What do you say, America? Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. All right, stocks. Where are we stock-wise? And why do you care? You care because if you have a 401k, you want to pay attention to what's going on with the stocks because you probably have a basket of them. Right? Stocks are ending at the highest levels in more than 2 years. That's what happened on the day. If you're keeping score, the Dow was up 55 points. There's some big gains in some other areas, financial areas. JP Morgan Chase was up. Bank of America was up. So the blue chip index finished at its highest level since really the end of August of 2008. It was well up over 11 something. So the S&P, I say something because 11 and change, the S&P 500 picked up 8 points. So again, you're going back to 2008 numbers. Yet I say this about stocks. And then how about this? 1 in 7 Americans, I saw this today, 1 in 7 Americans rely on food stamps. Yep, food stamp use increased by 16% this year, and that's fueled by a $10 billion annual increase, billion-dollar annual increase in what? Stimulus funding. 1 in 7. Does that seem like a high number to anyone else? Anybody listening to me think that's a high number? I think it's a pretty, I'd say it's a pretty high number. And why are we seeing these bigger numbers? Well, hello, look at the economy. We keep hearing that, oh no, there's been a bounce back, but I think states like Mississippi, where we visited a couple of, well, I guess a month ago, New Mexico, Oregon, Tennessee, 1 in 5 people are getting food stamps. But how about this? Washington, D.C., would you be stunned to know that they've got 21.5% of the population on food stamps? 21.5? Well, that's the high unemployment rate, of course. And then people participate in the food stamps. So the nation's unemployment number is 9.8%, and that's driving the food stamp use. And honestly, I mean, we say 9.8, but let's twist the numbers a little bit. I really think that number is higher. We know it's higher in Nevada. I think in parts of California it's higher. And do we actually see it hit the double digits? We kept hearing that, okay, those numbers are going to go down, but then I have the question, the million-dollar question, when are those numbers going to go down? It certainly doesn't seem that way, does it? All right, let's jump to something else numbers-wise. How about this? Something fun. University of Connecticut women's team, their b-ball team, Gene Auriemma, you ever hear of him? He's been the coach for a long, 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 long time of these ladies. They set a new college record for consecutive basketball wins. How many? 89th straight win. Wow, 89th straight win. That's pretty incredible, you have to say. Hey, Matt, you're a sports fan. You do have to tip your cap to the ladies, the Huskies. That's pretty special, 89. Imagine if he gets to, I say he because I'm going to give some credit to the coach, imagine if they get to 100.
Yeah, I think it's special, but at the same time, it's completely different. I would say it's a different record than the UCLA
record. Definitely.
And a lot of people are trying to compare the two, and I don't understand. It's apples and oranges. I know it's the same sport, but it's different. It's just like a D2 men's basketball record wouldn't be the same thing as a D1 men's basketball record. And it's two different sports. I think it's a huge accomplishment, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a huge accomplishment, and I think we should tip our cap to them. But it is different if we want to compare the two, because it was the UCLA record that was broken. But yet, there's no question it's apples and oranges to me. Across the board, apples and oranges, when you think of what the Bruins accomplished, a little bit different than the women. How about that? All right, here's another interesting week in count. So if you're keeping score on this one, we go from food stamps to the Connecticut basketball team, then to this story about the FCC approving net neutrality rules. And you know that this really sticks in my crawl because the wild, wild west, baby. You don't want too much red tape when it comes to the internet, right? I mean, I'd like to strangle the hackers, or I can't tell you how many viruses, malware, all that nonsense that we've had to untangle. Me, personally, we've had to untangle ourselves from this year. But that has nothing to do with the whole net neutrality thing. So a 3-2 vote, the FCC approves what they're calling high-level rules of the road that will ensure that Internet providers give everyone equal access to the web. But the vote, really, if you want to talk about Internet freedom, really the new rules don't go far enough. And do we really want the government in the business of online? Do we really want them in the Internet? I'm going to say no. No, go away. Don't get involved. Are you kidding? The FCC chairman, Julius Jankowski, said they're going to require high-speed Internet providers to treat all types of web content equally. So the FCC, their claim is the rules will in effect keep companies that own the infrastructure, they'll keep the real world infrastructure from slowing down some types of websites or, let's say, apps, for example. The app deal was one that was talked about a lot. Say the ones that belong to a competitor or speeding up others for high paying clients. You pay more, you're going to get more speed. And I just, to me, I think it's not a good deal to have the FCC in the middle of this. Think of just the average person using the internet. So this vote affects pretty much, when you look at the government, whether they'll guarantee that they'll continue to have access to all web content regardless of what the internet provider's wishes are. Okay, so you could be sold that and maybe think that that sounds good to you, right? Or whether you're going to get that content as quickly as maybe some businesses that flash the cash or others who could pay more for it. But pay attention to what happens here with this 3-2 vote and watch this as the first step maybe in a very bad direction. The people who think it's the first step in the right direction say that it's not as, they didn't go far enough, that the rules don't really absolutely prevent broadband providers from pay for priority, so giving faster service, in other words, to people who can pay for it, or favoring one business over another. So why do we have the rule? So basically, looks good, seems like a good idea on paper, but not in reality and execution, not a great idea, because it's not really going to help you. So in the end, people who pay more, businesses who flash the cash, well, I mean, they're on a collision course. They are going to get the better access, even if they say they're not, that it's not going to happen. I don't buy that. I mean, it's, you know, what's going to happen is this is going to get challenged in court, and it's going to get thrown out. It might take a few appeals, and, you know, it might be a little bit down the road, but this is the government interfering with business practices. Get the other crap right. Don't get involved in the internet. It's the wild, wild west. Just leave it alone. So net neutrality, a step in the wrong direction, particularly if you own some kind of a business and you thrive and survive on the internet, look out, duck and run for cover. You can send me your thoughts on the show at americatonight.net.